Good evening. Welcome to January's meeting of the Richmond Development Review Board. For all our multitudes of audience, I would encourage you to sign in, which is over there if you haven't already. That allows you to receive our decision and also qualifies you to be what's called an interested party and have the right to appeal any decision that we would grant. But it also requires you to offer evidence, either orally or in writing. So having said that, do you want to pick up the last issue from the last meeting, which we continued, which is the Kenyon application? Take that up. We got the road agreement. Did everyone see it?
Nope.
Does anyone have any issues with it?
No.
The only issue I raised, which I talked to Suzanne about, was that it stated that they could amend it at any time. And I thought maybe we should protect ourselves. And I was thinking if we added to that section that any and all amendments will be submitted for approval to either the zoning administrator or the DRB. That way they can't vote to eliminate the
Road Association.
I agree with that.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Everybody? Okay.
I'm not voting, so.
Oh, okay. So I'd entertain a motion to accept it with the wording that I just proposed.
Second.
So moved. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Suzanne, will you, I can send you the wording and you can get that to them and have them put that in that paragraph. That's in paragraph 8.
Yeah. That's not
it. Yeah. Okay, so next on the agenda is Robert and Joy Reap, application 2018-146 for preliminary subdivision review. For proposed two-lot subdivision, creation of a new lot at 258 Wortham Road within the residential agricultural district. You folks want to come up to the table and I'll swear you in. Do you both swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth?
Yes.
I do.
Great. Why don't you tell us what you have in mind?
Subdividing a piece of property that we have to create another lot or two lots and building a new house.
A total of two lots.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We had to go through Act 250 before we got here.
Right,
so we've
we
been
saw that.
A lot.
We saw the WW. It's interesting, in the paper today, they were talking about the duplicity of having to go through not only Act 250, but then the various municipal subdivisions and how what a burden that is on the developers. We didn't have any road agreement, did we? No. So,
preliminary.
So we'll need a final road agreement in writing, which basically sets out how the road will be handled, how it'll be maintained, and how the two lots will share those costs.
That should be fairly easy, considering we already have a road agreement existing for the two houses that share the driveway already. So I think we'll just amend it to have the new.
That'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And just make sure it deals with how the costs will be shared.
Yep.
Both
it already
maintenance,
does.
Maintenance and is it your intention that you'll upgrade the part to the new house and then
upgrade the part to the new
we'll
house.
Build the part to the new house off of existing.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions from the board?
How does the original
administrative created lot tie-in? Like, what was that for exactly?
That was Bob Marquis, the previous owner, created the White's lot.
Oh, okay, so that, okay, got it. I wasn't sure what
that's right.
That had created, basically.
There's no improvement on either of these lots now, is that correct?
There's a house
on one house.
We live in the house.
That was the original house.
Creating a lot to build another house.
Okay.
So it's your intention, you're going to live in the house and then your son's going to live over in the one bedroom?
I think someday it'll be Bob and I in the little house.
Any other thoughts from the board? Okay, at this point, any comments or evidence from the audience? Nothing?
Is this going to affect the mountain biking?
No.
We need a a subdivision plan.
The plat.
Right here.
They brought it.
Okay. Can we see that?
They're, all of them go to them. Sorry, that wasn't, just so everybody knows, that's not on the application that it's required for this meeting, so that's why it's late.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yep.
Now I've since amended the application.
Oh,
I actually think it would be better to wait until the next one. That's a big investment, and if anything got changed in this meeting, I would wait and do the plat in the next one. You know what I mean? Like, if you...
I know it's an expense, but otherwise, how do we know where your boundaries are? I mean, we can somewhat see it on this,
right,
on your, which is basically your map that they all prepared in the survey for the septic.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that. I mean,
I get.
I know it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Surveyors are expensive, and engineering's expensive.
Just not attorneys.
Not as expensive. Okay. I don't see any trails on this. Doesn't our ordinance require trails to be put on the map?
It does. The subdivision, that's part of it, that says that all trails should be shown. So.
Does that mean legal trails?
Well, that's the
question. It doesn't really...
Doesn't make that definition.
Yeah.
Well, like vast trails is usually what we show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the board can talk about that. Whether we... Any other thoughts from anybody? No? Okay, I'd entertain nothing from the audience. I'd entertain a motion.
I would approve. Or do you want to? Do you guys want to go?
No one had any comments yet. Does people feel you need a deliberative session?
I don't.
No.
I agree. I'll move to approve application 2018-146 for the preliminary subdivision review for Robert and Joy Reed.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
So what happens at the next meeting?
We look at your final plat. If we have any comments, we'll make them in our preliminary decision to you, and then you'll have to, you know, we'll need to look at your road agreement. We know that. Mm-hmm. We'll make a decision on trails and... anything else we come up with, which doesn't sound like we will.
Okay. I would not so much for my own, our own project or our own feelings about this, but there are a lot of people who are allowing trails these days that don't want them mapped. And I worry that requesting that they get on these plans is going to deter people
that's well
from
taken.
Doing it.
I think I know one landowner who feels that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
Okay. So when you make this decision, it's going to carry through to a lot of other things.
Right. That's a good point. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Great.
So that's it.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
See you next month.
Whenever
you want. We'll be by Friday.
Okay.
You have nothing else to do on a snowy week?
Oh, yeah. We just wanted to just, we were just going to.
We have one set of minutes that we haven't approved yet?
Yes, just last month.
Which one is it, September?
No, December's.
December. I don't have a copy of it.
Oh, I don't think I gave you a copy.
No.
That was only you.
Are they there in Dropbox?
They were. I can print.
No, all again.
Yeah.
Everybody has it electronically?
I agree. Did it electronically, yeah.
Do you have a copy I could look at?
I could go print you one, or you can look at my.
Let me just—I don't want. Maybe I can look at Roger over Roger's shoulder.
Now that the challenge is on,
the most two techie guys on the planet.
With the best vision too.
Yeah,
right. Well, it's like you carried away with this.
I'll refresh my memory while you're doing that.
Suzanne, can you pull up a copy just like
I can.
Over your shoulder?
I can. I can go, I can print some if you want to sit down.
I know I read it, but.
Suzanne, were those the lights?
No, that's the, I think the greenhouse.
That's the greenhouse, yeah.
The greenhouse?
Yeah, they're like.
They're east. To the west.
Oh, to the west, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I can see them.
Yeah, I thought that might show up tonight.
It's amazing how much stuff I do read on the screen. Font 4.
Exactly. Do you know
that? Anybody have any amendments, changes, anything they'd like to see in there?
I'm good with it.
I'm good with it. No changes.
Okay. I'd entertain a motion to accept the minutes for December.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
We have nothing else.
Thank goodness.
Oh, I know. I did get the planning director did ask me the planning commission would like comments from us if we have anything that we'd like them to look at for changes. I think before they do a global new, am I right, Suzanne? Before they do a global new zoning ordinance, they're going to look at changes?
Yes, they're at, I think,
I'm not sure if they're going to do the whole kit and caboodle at once because the how it went down last time. They might, I think they're trying to bite off little portions potentially, but just kind of like what...
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. You know.
I think of a couple areas that could use a little clarification and attention.
If you send me an email, I can pass that on. The only thing that readily came to my mind, obviously, is the same old problem that we've been wrestling with all along, which is density in the village.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the definition of units
and
dwelling units and units. And units you know, before we dealt with Bressler, I mean, that was an agony.
Taller structures. Section could use clarification.
Yeah.
Awnings.
A definition would be helpful.
In all candor, I went before the Planning Commission this week and the Select Board this week to ask about what John Fath, the owner of Toscano, would come and talk to us about, which was having the upstairs of his building zoned for four units. Or for multiple units.
Well, that falls into the same thing as density in the village.
It does. Yep. Yeah, then the town plan, it seems like they can bite things off in case it says, you know, case by case basis.
So I have
individual
density, height of structures, definition of units.
Units versus buildings or something like that.
Dwelling units.
Yeah, dwelling units versus...
We have to look at it again.
Versus structures.
Versus structures. That's it, Patrick. You're right.
They have one sitting out there right now, I think, and I don't know if it's had more definition, but the creamery was zoned for, I don't know if it was like 47 or 57 units, but there's no, they went back and forth over allowable number of units, but they don't actually have any definition for that either, for what a unit is. So it could be a studio apartment or it could be a four-bedroom apartment.
It's true. I mean, that occurred to me when I read those decisions, that they really left it up to the developers what they had. And that's an interesting question because that certainly affects parking. Mm-hmm. If you had 47 studios as opposed to 47 two-bedrooms.
I think that they're gonna have ample parking.
Yeah, you should.
It's hypothetical.
But that's not the only place where that will come into play.
Yeah.
There was another issue with the creamery that we had trouble interpreting the regulations on, and that was it wasn't a density issue. I have to go back and look.
Well, the Select Board had said it had to be 50% residential, 50% commercial,
60% commercial,
60% commercial
by the end.
It was by the end or during.
So
it was almost more the wording of their decision than it was the zoning.
Yeah, maybe it was that.
That was sort of.
It was just not clear what they meant, and maybe you're right, Matt. It was a decision and not the.
I think it was.
I just don't remember.
Yeah.
And that was a decision by the Select Board.
Right, it was the Select Board's decision.
We've given some consideration to whether we want to keep accessory dwelling restrictions the way they are.
I agree.
I mean, this idea that you're going to build it for a family member and it can only be used for a family member for all time.
No, an accessory dwelling, it's either the main house or the dwelling you have to live in.
So you could switch to the little house?
You can live in the little house and
you could rent both out.
No, you cannot rent both out. So that would be a duplex.
Yeah, well, we ran into that issue with the guy with the studio down on Huntington Road. That wanted to build an accessory dwelling before he built a.
That was on the Heinsberg Road.
Yeah, Heinsberg.
Right.
Well, it's a Heinsberg Road.
Now he's got huge barn, right?
And
a house.
White ghost.
A house.
Yeah, Michael Seip. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
We built my mother-in-law's accessory dwelling before we built the house. We haven't built the house yet.
What about, how'd you do that?
It's considered
the principal dwelling.
Oh, okay. So what about, there was another one that we dealt with. What was it? God, my brain is dead. Look, it'll come to me too late.
I was reading through some of the zoning regulations, and it seemed like the high-density residential is actually less...
dense.
Less dense than... Village and commercial.
Well, it varies. And that's like two-thirds of an acre, because they don't have, most of it's not in on the in the water district, so they're all wells and septic, and but then Tilden is part of the high density residential, right.
Well, what you remember with Garrett, and we had the, you know, you could, it's easier, he could get approval for a more dense neighborhood if he combined his dwelling units.
Yes.
I mean, that was, you know, there were just too many places that the code was, or the regulations were ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And you could bend them the way you chose.
I was also reading about high-density residential. And I was trying to figure out whether, you know, this was really hypothetical. Can you have, could you, you know, if you had an existing single-family residence, and, you know, let's say you had plenty of acreage on your lot, doesn't sound like you could build a second dwelling to rent out that was not an accessory dwelling. Even though you could build a single, as a you know, conditional use, you could build a four-unit building, but you couldn't have two one-unit buildings.
Correct.
Which seems like, you know, I can picture some of those larger, older lots that might have a garage or a carriage house.
Mm-hmm.
You could not put an apartment over there.
Well, you could do that, but it's having two principal structures. Unless
you could do that?
No.
One subject to square footage regulation.
Yeah, yeah.
But the
accessory dwellings are a certain size.
Right, so it has to be accessory.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, which
but
seems
kind of
odd. You could have, like, I could see things fitting much better in keeping with the existing village if, you know, to be able to have a detached, if you had a detached garage or what have you,
mm-hmm.
with an apartment above.
You can.
But why does it have to be? But it has to be accessory. It has to meet those accessory restrictions.
I know in Burlington we wrestled.
So I just question, you know, is that, I guess I puzzle over that requirement that it be an accessory.
Well, it's just
structure, white, you know, and occupied by the
somebody,
by the family.
Well, no, it's the same thing. Family has to live in one or the other.
Yeah, I wonder why that's
both.
Necessary. I guess is the intent to ensure owner occupancy as opposed to renters. I mean, it doesn't really change what happens on the ground.
Because then it changes it from as opposed to a duplex or something. That's a different.
Right.
It's in something different.
Well,
that potentially, if it's in a residence, maybe.
But I can build
one. People might not be thinking, like, oh, it's just in a little apartment for grandma, as opposed to, oh, they're doing an inn next door or something. They're having an Airbnb.
Well, but if you're meeting the setback requirements and the size restrictions and the density and all that, why does it matter who lives in it? Whereas I could build a new four-unit building. And
mm-hmm.
I don't have to live in it. None of my relatives need to live in it. Why does it matter if the carriage house has an apartment that is rented out? And maybe I'm going to go away and I'm going to rent both of them out. I guess I just don't, it doesn't change anything on the ground. So I guess I puzzle over the intent of the accessory restriction.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's intended to, in that situation, the intent is to keep, since it's a smaller unit, it's subject to the bigger unit, and the idea is to keep that as more of like a family.
Yeah, but why?
Right, but I agree. I mean, other than that being the reason.
I mean, I could say like, yeah, I mean, I can understand where it got its start. Like, I just needed a place for my, you know, for my relatives. They were not well.
But the big problem that I see often is that it starts out as a mother-in-law, so to speak, apartment, and then mother-in-law passes away, and it gets rented out. And that's extremely difficult for you to ever regulate because you would have no knowledge.
No, but we don't regulate rental apartments, you know, per se.
But what I'm saying is
to set up a non-compliant situation.
So,
yeah.
If we're not really intending to ensure.
No, but then somebody would still, like the owner, would still be living there.
I don't really see that. I don't see your interpretation of the regs. It's probably there, but I've not really given a lot of thought to it.
What is the size limitation of the accessory dwelling right now?
Well,
so
it's
a percentage of
square footage,
right?
Yeah,
but then
I was just reading that, and I'm just confused myself about this because we've talked about maximum 30% for a long time.
That's what I thought it was.
Oh, but it's
not
that.
Maximum 75%.
Yeah.
Minimum 30%.
It changed. This was.
Oh, minimum 30%.
It's been changed. Yeah.
30s can be large if you.
Well, that's.
Depending what the main structure
but
is.
It's up to 1,000 square feet.
Up to 1,000, no more than.
No.
Whichever's
unless you have a state statutory minimum, then you can have bigger.
But the state, right. Well, I guess so.
So what is the 1,000 square feet component of it?
Right, so if 30, what's that?
What's the 1,000 square foot component?
It's basically, that's the maximum, but if that's less than 30%, it has to be bigger.
Gotcha.
Which, to me, seems the opposite of what the regulation used to be.
It's changed.
I mean, it used to be that you can't be any bigger than 30, that's the most important thing. Now it's saying it has to be bigger than 30.
It has to be 30. 30 is the minimum, and if 30 is...
No, it's how it is in this town. It's 75% of the total habitable floor area, so it can't be like, you can't include the garage.
You can't include the basement.
You can't include the basement that's not finished. Or up to 1,000 square feet, whichever is less. So, but then if you have a huge house that's over 4,000 square feet,
right.
You know, something like that, then it kicks you to, in cases where the state statutory minimum of 30%, that's when you get, you would, could have a look greater than 1,000 square feet.
Right, it is at a 1,250 square foot.
Yeah.
I guess it just seems funny because I remember like when the LeBounties came in for theirs.
Yes. They're the ones that had this change.
It was like
31%. Okay.
And whatever. But
oh, they changed this?
It's just interesting because... I mean, I guess I don't have much of an opinion about it, but it seems like the whole point of it used to be, okay, if you have a 3,000 square foot house, now you can have a 2,500 square foot accessory dwelling.
No.
Or 22. Well, no, you're right, because it has to be
1,000
square
feet. Yeah. Unless it's
a
huge house.
Well, what's 30% of 3,000 square feet?
30%. 900 square feet.
So that's okay. So, right, unless it's a mansion.
Yeah.
Monster.
Well,
you're not going to hit that.
I just think of the large houses on East Main Street or West Main Street. Some of those are pretty large, and a couple of them do have coach houses in the back, old coach houses.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Burlington that same issue came up, and what we started doing was building those porches to connect the buildings together.
And that's another question that we encountered.
Just breezeways.
Breezeways. What is an attached dwelling?
Yes.
You know, there's a fence.
Is that
an attachment, remember?
I think,
yes.
Yeah, which definitely gets
And there's nothing
to.
Like that. And I mean, the regulations aren't clear on what...
What do we mean by a structure?
What constitutes an attachment?
So, to the question that the Planning Commission put toward to us about comments we have about the regulations, when you say things like density, can we be any more specific about what that is, about what we're looking for? Other than just
well, I think what we're... What we're looking for is a little more clarification. And I don't know that... I think that the Planning Commission needs to take a stand and make some decisions on this density in the village.
But I think that we need to tell them specifically, now that they've asked us, what things
like
concern us. Like density, how about some definitions of, and tell them what we struggle with.
Well, what we struggle with is that people want to make it greater density, and the ordinance won't allow it because there's almost no lots in the village that can meet that 2/3 acre.
Well, not
issue.
Only they want to make it more dense, but they want to do it without subdivisions. So therefore, you have planning developments, which is cumbersome, and in some cases, and I can't cite what they might be, but it could be that our regulations are more lax to planned unit developments density-wise than they are to subdivided lots. Now, did we ever decide that, Suzanne? Did we decide in the Bressler case that you can get more bang for your buck if you were a planned unit subdivision density-wise than you can if you subdivided the lots?
No, you can't.
One can't exceed the other.
Right.
One can't exceed the other. So right. The planning and development density can't exceed the density of a subdivided lot.
If it was subdivided.
Correct. What happened there was you could get arguably more density.
It could be closer.
Because you had the limit on number of structures as well.
Well, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that part of it. Right. But I was also thinking, you know, why? What is the drive to the planned unit development as opposed to actually subdividing your lots?
You get more flexibility.
I know that it becomes more cumbersome, as David said, to us. But yeah, I know that for the developer, it's a better operation because you can move stuff around easier. But in the long run, are you getting around the intent of the subdivision laws by creating a planned unit development?
And also what... You know, from the Planning Commission standpoint, what is a better result? What's a better plan?
What's a more favorable plan?
More favorable
to
plan.
The community.
Yeah.
And that could be too, and I don't know the answer to that. The trouble is that there's, and it happens all the time, the more ways that you can read this stuff, the more difficult it is for us, because we're trying to basically enforce the subdivision regulations, and if they're ambiguous, then you know what we do is subject to error, depending on who's
you're their interpretation.
Okay, well, I've taken notes, and
we should submit.
Submit me emails, and then I'll submit those to.
How do we do that sort of as a collective entity?
Or just send them an individual.
Right, just like what goes to the Planning Commission? Like, is it the consensus opinion of the board, or is
no,
it just anything? Everything.
Let's throw everything at them.
Great. Just curious.
Do you sit on those Planning Commission meetings?
No.
So there's really nobody. Is there anybody that has that does this on a regular basis?
Jessica.
Well, Jessica is the planner.
Yeah.
She took over for Claire.
Okay.
And so
I don't know Jessica.
Yeah, she's
okay.
Come to one meeting, I think, here. But and so we talk. She and I talk all the time, and I'm always kind of like, they need to rework this, or this doesn't make sense. So we talk about different things that we see.
I mean, you know, the Planning Commission is kind of regulating the subdivision or the zoning regulations, which affect us, and yet we're not part of the process.
Right.
Which is kind of strange.
It's true. Well, we approved it.
But, okay.
I guess that's why they ask for your input.
You know, we should discuss
it. Well, I know that, but it's, you know.
Yeah, it is, but...
Yeah,
we
should.
I don't know if it's that's generally how it's done. Usually in other
but
channels as well. It's always
the Planning
Commission that
planning
does.
Planning Commission meetings are open, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it doesn't stop us with any vote.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
But that's how it is. It's the Planning Commission is the because their job is they wrote the plan and they're
right.
Interpreting the plan through the regulations, and
right.
So that's their.
No, I understand.
Going back to that application, what's the board feel about this issue of trails? And I know what they were alluding to was that I've been working with some landowners who the bike committee wants, or the trails committee wants to put trails, and they said we'd be open to it, but we don't want these trails on any maps because we...
Why would they have to be on? What is the reason?
What does the regulation say? That's the question.
Yeah,
what requires them to be on?
You can pull that right out, Suzanne, can't you?
Yeah.
The subdivision regs?
Yes.
Oh, it's in the subdivision reg.
On page 4, Number 10, it says potential layouts for subdivision showing all roads, pedestrian ways, recreational trails, utilities, and all proposed access to the subdivision.
So, and it doesn't give any definition. Is there any definition of trails?
Recreational trails.
Not in, not in there.
Not in there?
No. It does sound broader than legal trail.
Right.
But we can interpret it. I mean, that's our job.
Right, right.
I mean, I think if it's a vast trail, we have in the past wanted vast trails on our maps. We really haven't had bike trails to deal with until the last 2, 3, 4 years. And they've been over large landowners, for the most part, who haven't come before us. I'm thinking of Cochran, my property, Preston. Mm-hmm. Did we put trails on the Preston?
I don't know. I haven't.
I don't remember.
Aren't bike trails sort of, I mean, they come and they go.
They do. I mean, since the trail committee has come about, which is the last few years, they've become more established, and a map has been published, actually, showing bike trails.
I would think this requirement is, you know, probably intended to address, you know, a larger subdivision where those improvements, the roads, the trails, the rec paths are part, you know, like I bought a lot at such and such subdivision, and there's a rec path that we all have access to, and it goes through everybody's lot.
But it does not give, you know, it's, that's sufficiently vague.
Right, but we have, you know, yeah.
So that's what's your interpretation.
I don't particularly see the benefit of putting the trails on the map.
Don't see it.
Yeah.
Well, if you wanted to make clear to all owners of, you know, a lot in a subdivision where the trails are that are part of the subdivision.
Trails cross your property.
Right. If these are not sort of legally established,
buying your property, because then you put the trails on the subdivision on a subdivision map. What you're really saying is those trails are part of the subdivision. You've had notice of their use as trails, and you can't block them. Because right. They're trails, and you're implying that you have given a use to the public by putting the trails on the subdivision plat. Have you not, David? Haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're letting the landowner know that if he buys a lot and there's a vast trail on it, he should know in advance that he's going to have snowmobiles on it.
What if there's a bike trail on it?
But doesn't VASC get like easements from landowners?
Often, yeah.
And I don't know, and really, I know that there's some kind of issue with the trails, but I don't know.
Well, if there's
no permissions, but they don't have actual.
They have what technically is called a license.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a license, but the landowner can kill the license, and
anytime.
if that's what the bicycle trail is, then they shouldn't be on the subdivision plan.
I'd agree. If they intended, if someone's creating a subdivision and they intend that trail persists over time and that all owners have access to it,
right. then it should be on there.
Just like the driveway's on there.
But if it's just a matter of convenience for the owners of the property and people that, you know, if they can cut that off at any time they want, then it shouldn't be on the subdivision plat.
I don't think there's any.
So that would be true with the Reaps, is that that's something that they've put on by their own volition and they can take off at any time.
I would think that you wouldn't want on the subdivision plat if you can remove that trail, because when you put it on the subdivision plat,
it becomes permanent
just by definition of the fact that it's on there.
I agree.
And I mean, I've litigated cases where that subject of a right-of-way being on a plat is cast in stone, and people can't uncreate that right-of-way.
I agree.
So the answer then is...
So if you draw a squiggly line and designate it as a bike trail on a plat,
yes,
then that's a legally binding...
Well,
it can grow to that.
That's what depends question. You have to be careful with that. What we're saying is that if you if you take a record plat like this and you record it, and it's got a bunch of lots on it, and there are trails going across those lots, and I buy one of those lots, I say, boy, this is cool. Mm-hmm. I can go from my lot to the lot next door and all around because it's shown right here on the subdivision plat.
Yep.
Then I have relied on that. So does that give me the right to use it? Well, to a certain extent it does, because the developer that did this put those on there, just like if he put a covenant on that said, well, here, there are bike trails on here. It has the same implication. Now, can that be enforced in all cases? A cut and dry? No. But my point is that if you put them on here, you're opening that Pandora's box.
Understood.
I know, like, Williston is very key on the large subdivisions of making sure there's rec paths on
there. Well, that's a different ballgame. I mean, that's because they want that on there.
Right, you have to create that connectivity from Park 10. And if we were doing that, then I'd say, yeah, that trail needs to be on there if it was meeting a requirement of the, of our regs, but otherwise.
I would think that if these are licensed trails, licensed by the legal definition as opposed to easement trails, they shouldn't be on the subdivision plan.
Okay.
Because you can't get that toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't want them. We don't want the REAPs to put them on there.
I think it's almost unless they want to.
Only right. If they want to enhance the value or the
right.
appeal of their subdivision.
That's sort of what I was getting at. It's like, I don't see a benefit to in this situation for putting.
Well, they're the developers. They own it. They determine whether or not that's a benefit. So
that's
if
what
the
I
developers
mean, so
trying to sell lots. And he says, I'm putting these trails on so that people can blah, blah, blah.
For
then,
sure.
You know, it's different. But I don't think they should be on there if they can be erased.
Agreed.
Good. That's the feeling of the board.
I'm excited.
Good.
Good.
You just put it all out there.
Any other issues? No. Want to adjourn?
Yes.
I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.